This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome into the Thursday edition of Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, and I'll be with you all night long right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You can always catch us, SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, and the VSiN Watch app. While you were away, the Atlanta Falcons did score a touchdown. For some reason, they went for two to try and change the math of this game with 9:37 to go. They did not get the two-point try. 28-20 is your score. Bijan Robinson found the end zone. He was minus $1.20 to find pay dirt in this game. And that ticket gets home if you did bet it before this game started. But right now, well, it looks like we're going to have a kicking violation on the Falcons in the ensuing kickoff back to Tampa Bay. So it's now an 8-point game, and they're going to give the Bucs good field position to work with here, which makes the decision to go for two that much more inexplicable, because I think in the old rules of NFL overtime, it made a lot of sense if you were Raheem Morris to go for two. That way, if you can get a stop, get a score, you can then win on a PAT. But in this new age where both teams get to possess the ball in overtime, I'm not really sure there's a sense of urgency, even if you are on the road, to force that with 9:30 to go in the fourth quarter. Kind of an asinine move, and that's just kind of what you get when you're going to let Raheem Morris coach your football team, because this is an undisciplined team, and I think it's very clear, anyone who watches it, there's a lot of talent on this roster that is just not being maximized. Defense is fine. Offense, there's some dudes, and a couple of them are going off tonight. Kyle Pitts is having a crazy day for the Atlanta Falcons. Bijan Robinson's already gone over on his receiving prop. He's running the ball well. Your in-game number with Tampa Bay up by 8 is minus 9.5, because following that penalty on the kickoff, you feel like Tampa Bay's probably going to at least get a field goal. They have the ball at their own 44-yard line, so right around midfield, and a chance just to pick up a few yards to get into field goal range. So this Atlanta defense is going to have to get a stop, and Baker Mayfield eludes a defender, and he finds Igbuka over the middle for a first down. There's a flag on the play, though. We'll see what it ends up being called. They're showing Raheem Morris, which indicates to me that it's likely on the Falcons, and it is. Oh, my God, this team cannot get out of its own way. The Atlanta Falcons, every time there's a chance to do something, they seem to have a penalty. They seem to shoot themselves in the foot. So let me get an update on their penalties for the day, because at the break, they had, I think, 10 penalties for 70 yards. Right now in this game so far, Atlanta has 17 penalties for 110 yards. You understand that's almost impossible? It's almost impossible to have 17 penalties before the fourth quarter's even over. Like, the roster really has a chance to be good, but they are not disciplined. They do not do what they need to do to be successful and win these games. And that's why I believe Tampa's going to find a way and hold on to this lead here. They're up by 8. Baker had to throw it away on first down, so that'll bring up a 2nd and 10 with 8:28 to go. But for as good as the skill guys are, for as good as this defense is, for honestly as good as Kirk Cousins has looked tonight for Atlanta, they'll never go anywhere, because they're an unserious organization who lets someone like Raheem Morris run them. It's just simple as that. Raheem Morris has no business being a head coach in the NFL, period. That's the end of the sentence. I shouldn't have to defend myself. If you watch this team play, it's pretty apparent. He has no idea what he's doing. His team does not pay attention to details, and they're constantly shooting themselves in the foot. As I say that, interception Atlanta. Dude, you can't make it up on this show. I swear to God, if I end up hammering someone, the opposite will happen 30 seconds later. If I tell you someone's great, the opposite will happen 30 seconds later. And on that play, Baker Mayfield, Baker Mayfield just kind of threw it short, thinking he could get over the defender to Mike Evans. And in the flats, the DB just goes up and gets it. But Alford with a great play. I'm not sure what Baker was trying to do there. I think he was just being a little too aggressive on a play where you didn't have a window to find Mike Evans. And by the way, all of a sudden, the Falcons have a chance to cover this number, right? We closed at 5.5. Couldn't believe it got up to that. I thought about taking it. It's an 8-point game. Atlanta has the football. They are at their own 34-yard line. So they have a little bit of work to do. Pretty solid field position, and this is the recipe. There goes Bijan Robinson for a first down and a little bit more. And this is the problem. This is why I don't trust Raheem Morris, because This team has 4 wins on the season. They wouldn't if they operated like they're operating tonight, which is getting the football into the hands of their best player, Bijan Robinson, as much as humanly possible. Catching the ball, running the ball, stop with this Tyler Algier stuff, and feed your best player the damn football. He's got 16 carries for 90 yards. So he's over on his yardage prop of 73.5 now. He still needs one more carry to go over that 16.5. He's easily cleared his receiving. He has 8 for 82 there. So far in this game, Bijan Robinson catching 8 for 82. His number was 4.5 and 38.5. We cleared that very early in the third quarter. That was our one play on this game up at VSiN.com/picks. But how is this not what you were doing every week? Feed him the football. He's your best player on the field. And maybe I'm a little bit bitter because we took him in the preseason 16-1 to be the offensive player of the year. And you can't expect this result every single week, but there's no reason he couldn't be a guy that 1 week it's the receiving numbers pop, 1 week it's the rushing. In fact, a guy he was drafted the same year as Jahmyr Gibbs, I think their stat lines could be very similar if he was used properly all year long. And there's Kirk Cousins targeting Bijan Robinson on a 2nd and 7 as he lined up out wide. And he almost made a spectacular catch in the first half. Lined up out wide, goes deep down the field. It was probably like a 35, 40-yard catch, but he only got 1 foot in bounds. But he looked as good as any receiver. I can tell you that. Looked as good as any receiver I've seen in the NFL. So this is a critical 3rd and 7 for the Atlanta Falcons. You want to get some points off of that turnover. You're down by 8 because your dummy head coach just went for 2. So you're going to have to go for 2 now as well. At the 49-yard line, facing a 3rd and 7, they're 3 and 8. Or 3 for 8 on 3rd down are the Falcons. Cousins under pressure. He delivers. Kyle Pitts over the middle. Kyle Pitts is about to get paid after the run that he's on. Now, he's in a contract year. And the question with Kyle Pitts is he a tight end or a receiver? I'll say yes. I think he's both. I think he's less of a tight end, more of a receiver, but he's not really a full receiver. He's more of a tight end. You get where I'm coming from? He's a bit of a tweener. He's not Evan Ingram. He's a bit thicker, a bit bigger, but he possesses a lot of the ball skills of a tight end, and he's having a career day. 8 catches for $135 for him as Algier with a run down to the 25-yard line, and Atlanta's cooking with grease. All right, what's the number right now? We've moved down to 4.5. Bucks are laying 4.5 minus 135. Do we dare go Atlanta plus 420 on the money line? Why not? We hit a little bit of a bet on Sean Tucker, first touchdown scorer at Dustin Sweetelson on X. Just do those for funsies. Split a unit, however many you want to bet, 4, 5, 6. Just split it on there. Really small stuff, but I'm going to go a little bit plus 440 on the Falcons to win this game because I just want something fun to ride out the rest of the way. And 1st and 10 now from the 21-yard line. I do like their chances to make this really interesting on this drive. Now, I am trusting them to score a touchdown here, which it's asking a lot. Because if they give the ball back to Tampa Bay, and they're not going to settle for a field goal down 8. Let's just be very clear. But on a 4th and whatever situation is, I don't really know if Zach Robinson has stuff in his back pocket for those spots. He barely has stuff ready to go for the basic 1st and 10 plays. So I'm not sure he has too much trickeration ready to go for a game like today. Come on, take my bet. It's suspended. Take my bet. I said accept it. Oh, my God. And there's Mooney down to the 8-yard. He fumbled. Oh, he fumbled. Oh, my God. Don't take my bet. Don't take my bet. Thank you for looking out for me. Mooney with a catch got down to the 8-yard line, took a pop. Took a second pop, and the ball came loose. Who has it? Who has it? Signal. Someone give me a sign. That's a song, Show Me a Sign. It's Ricky Martin. Is that what that is? I think it's Tampa Bay. Is it? No, the offense is staying on the field for Atlanta. What are they saying? Hold on. Who had the football? It's definitely a fumble. Like, it came loose while Mooney was standing. Great play by Levante David. Just rip it out of his hands. Mooney's a little guy. Mooney's a little guy. They're saying Atlanta ball. Atlanta jumped on that. I'm trying to see who jumped on it. That is crazy. All I see is creamsicles. How did Atlanta end up with this football? That is wild. Yep, Atlanta football. They just caught a huge break. All right, take my bet. Take my bet. I want the 4-1. I want the plus 420. Come on, come on. Come on, take it. It's not available. Screw you. I tried betting it 10 seconds ago. Plus 420. Come on. Spinning wheel. 5, 4, 3, 2. One, come hurry up, take the freaking bet. It's going to lose anyway. All right, it's in. We're at plus 420. My God. So much effort to get in a bet that's probably not going to hit. But here we are, second and goal for Atlanta. They're down by 8, 28 to 20 is your score. The Bucks up in this game, they're laying 5.5. Your total in game is 54.5. And a lot of people right now are hoping Atlanta can make this thing interesting as they close this 5.5-point dogs. So let's see. They hand it off to Bijan. He takes it all. Oh, that blew this play dead. I was like, why is he just walking into the end zone? All right, they called the play dead. There's a flag on the play. Let's see what it is. And it's on the offense. See, this is the problem when you bet, like I just did on Raheem Morris on the money line, is that his team is not disciplined. What's that penalty number 400 on the night for them? Way to go, guys. You're all over it. Really disciplined. Taking advantage of an opportunity against a divisional team. Really doing really, really good work. Hey, you know what is really good work? Our college football playoff betting guide. It dropped early this morning. You can check it out right now. What it has inside, you've got full previews of every first round game. College football playoff overview, insider breakdowns, best bets, custom brackets, Steve Mackinnon's power ratings, and bowl picks across the entire network. You can buy the guide now for $14.99, upgrade to VSiN Pro, and you'll get the guide included within that. Plus, you'll also get full access to daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Get your guide now by going to VSiN.com/CFP. That's VSIN.com/CFP. Third and goal coming for the Falcons, down by 8. Can they make it interesting the rest of the way? Well, you're going to have to stick around to find out what happens on the other side of cashing out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Thursday Night Football just got interesting. Welcome back into Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. While we were away, Kyle Pitts scored his third touchdown of the game. And it was a remarkable catch and a great throw by Kirk Cousins, who threw his third touchdown. He's 26 of 38 for 315. He's gone over every prop he had out there. He looks incredible. In fact, he looks so good, I wonder, is Michael Penix any good? Kirk Cousins looks that good right now in this offense. Michael Penix hasn't had a game where he's looked this good, okay? So that would have me concerned if I'm a Falcons fan. But Kyle Pitts scores. Atlanta goes for two because dummy Raheem Morris went for two earlier trying to change the pacing of this game, and they don't get the two-point conversion. So it's now a two-point game. It is 28-26. It could be a tie game. You could be playing for overtime. But no, Raheem Morris had to get too cute because this guy has no business as a leader running an organization at the level that he is, and he's going to end up losing the game for his team because the odds of this defense getting another stop the way they just did an interception of Mayfield, which gave them not a really short field but a shorter field to work with. They were right around the 35-40. You're asking a lot out of your defense now to hold back a home team looking for a win that they desperately need in Tampa Bay because they need to keep pace with Carolina. Remember, Carolina has a tougher schedule because they have Seattle mixed in. I think Raheem Morris overthought this. Or maybe he underthought it. I don't know. Whichever one he did, he just proves time and time again he's incapable as a head coach. And, like, I'm saying this coming off a touchdown drive. I'm saying this off of Kirk Cousins looking rejuvenated and Kyle Pitts looking like he's about to get that Matt Flynn money off of one game. He's got 10 catches for 152 yards, Kyle Pitts. He's a free agent. I know I want my New York Giants to consider signing him, and I wanted it before this game. Now I don't know if they can afford him. He's about to get paid. And let's be fair about Kyle Pitts. He is a guy that either it's his fault or it's the organization's fault. Really haven't been able to develop him until recently. By the way, the number in game with Tampa Bay up 28-26. The Bucs are laying 1.5. It's minus 560 juice. They're minus 560 on the money line. Atlanta's now plus 370 on the money line. And this all could have been avoided if Raheem Morris just didn't go for two earlier. Like, then had to go for two again. Like, you're asking for too much out of your team. Your team isn't that good. Like, there's talent, but they're not that good. And now let's see if this Atlanta defense can do something here, get a stop, because I will give them credit. If they get a stop, a field goal wins the game. But it's a big if. It's a big if. And as someone who's holding on to a plus 440 ticket on the Falcons, I do not want to double down. I do not want to add to that bet. And I have a lot of concerns about it. And we'll see how it plays out over the final 3 minutes and 34 seconds with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers starting with the football, trying to put this game away up by two. So the kickoff is about to happen. Bucky Irving's had a solid little day, 13 for 57 on the ground. But the return of Mike Evans has been incredible because his numbers were very low. Mike Evans was set at 3.5 and 39.5 for his receiving props. He has six catches for 132 yards. So, six catches for 132 yards. There were reports that he was going to be on a pitch count. He was going to be out there for everything. Well, if he's not out there for everything, how's he getting 12 targets? Okay, so don't believe every report you hear. Every time you hear one of us reference, hey, the beat writers are reporting this is going to happen, they don't know. They're speculating. They're guessing. It's their best educated guess. I'm not going to hold it against anyone, but at the same time, in a game that Tampa Bay needs, as the guy that Baker Mayfield's trust the most, where other players like Igbuka have dropped some big balls. Godwin had a couple drops the other day. You knew Mike Evans was going to be used a lot. I just didn't know he'd be this successful. Those are crazy numbers. Tampa trying to run out the clock. Bucky Irving with a pickup of about six on the ground, which will set up a second and four, roughly. I'm getting better of marking the ball, like, in the moment. I don't want to stop and count, like, the little hash marks to how many until the first down marker, but I'm getting pretty good, like, on the fly from doing this show for so long of knowing when a guy goes down how many yards he ran for, roughly. I'm usually within, like, a yard or two. So, all right, second down and four. Nailed it. If there was an Olympics for that, I'd be a gold medal winner. Under 3 minutes remaining, though. Time is running out for Atlanta. Number is still Tampa Bay minus 540, Atlanta plus 360. Do you trust this defense to get a stop? How is Tampa going to handle it? They run it up the gut. That is a stop, but he might have picked up a yard or two. Nice play in the backfield, though, by Jesse Bates, the safety, coming around the end to stop the run. Had to come all the way around it to get Bucky Irving. And now Irving will go off the field, and I imagine either Sean Tucker or Rashad White. White, the better pass catcher. Tucker's a pretty good pass catcher, though, but a bigger body. And this is a huge third down as Atlanta uses a timeout, their first timeout, on this side of the two-minute warning. That is the right call. I'll give Raheem Morris credit there. That's the right call because with two timeouts left, you can use that two-minute warning as a timeout as well. So this is proper management. If you're a head coach of an NFL team, feels like I'm patronizing him. I kind of am because you kind of have to pat his head and tell him he's doing a good job so he keeps it up because he literally coached his team out of a potential overtime matchup with Tampa Bay tonight by going for two. Now, we all know what happened in the first segment. I said horrible things about Raheem Morris. His team got an interception and then scored a touchdown immediately. Because I just said bad things about him, you know on third and three, they're about to get this stop, get the ball back, and kick a game-winning field goal, which is fine by me because I took him plus 440 to win the game. But let's see. What do you got, Josh Grizzard, offensive coordinator for the Bucs? What do you got in your back pocket for third and three? Why should I trust you to come through on a critical down? Let's see what you got with 2:37 to go, up by two. Pass out into the flats. That's a first down, and that is Chris Godwin. Reliability. And that'll move the chains. That'll move the clock. And I believe we're going to get another Atlanta timeout. Was he out of bounds? If he's out of bounds, that helps Atlanta because that essentially works as a timeout to reset the downs. Let's see. Godwin. No, he was down. He was not out of bounds. So, never mind. All right. Remains a two-point game. You can now get 8.5-1 on Atlanta. I hate myself for betting on Raheem Morris in the moment. Like, looking back on it, I just wanted a little sweat. You know, sometimes, like, we self-sabotage because things are going well. I won two bets on this game. I was feeling good about myself. And I was like, no, you shouldn't feel that good. You should want to have some money riding on Raheem Morris to come through in the clutch. And I'm getting what I deserve right now as this plays out. It's first and 10. Tampa Bay, they're at around their own 40-yard line. And they're just going to run the football out here. Atlanta's down to one timeout. They'll have the two-minute warning to mess with as well. That's a stop for a loss. That's huge. That is huge. They needed that. And now you stop the clock with a timeout. And now the math is mathing a little bit. The math is mathing a little bit for a potential final drive with no timeouts coming for the Falcons. So let's see. The number's back down to Atlanta plus 470. It was like 8.5-1 before. Tampa's still minus 750. Second and 14 coming. Atlanta is out of timeouts. If you're Tampa Bay, what do? I run the football on second and 14. I go old Kevin Gilbride. I hit him with a halfback draw. Try to catch that over pursuit. By the way, it worked like one time for Kevin Gilbride. I think one out of like 4 million. But the one time it works, it looks awesome. I wouldn't hate a halfback draw right now. Let them just be overzealous, super aggressive, and catch them with no guys in the area for your running back to go. So second and 14, 2:24 left. Here we go. They're going to throw it. Baker looking deep. Oh, good play by the DB. Wow. Is that Alford again? Alford. Egbuka looked like he had a chance to make a play on the ball, and Alford came in and swatted it. That is crucial because now the clock stops. See, that's why if you're Tampa, you have to run it. They're out of timeouts. I'm yelling against my own bet. I'm literally yelling against. I just want people to manage the game properly here. I mean, I won a Super Bowl in Madden with the Jaguars, okay? I know what I'm talking about. Relax. All right, third and 14 coming. I can't believe they threw it. Bowles, they can't stop the clock. The two-minute warning's coming. You are giving them multiple plays on this side of the two-minute warning. Oh, my God. The clock is your enemy as much as the Falcons right now. How do these guys not know that? This is idiotic. Now I'm happy I bet the Falcons. Let's go. Let's go Falcons win this game outright plus 440. Now Todd Bowles is on the S list. He's a dummy too. Actually, I kind of like Todd. I think Todd Bowles is kind of underrated since he left New York. Todd Bowles is the reason why Robert Saleh needs to get a second chance and a second crack at things, not in the New York market, because people can learn, people can grow, and maybe they don't need to be in that microscope. Third and 14, pressure on Baker, and he is brought down for a sack. Oh, my God. And now it's going to be fourth down. The two-minute warning is going to hit. It's going to be a fourth and long, so they can't even like go for it or fake it or anything. They're going to have to punt it away. Kirk Cousins, oh, man, he has a chance to be a hero. He has a chance to get the football back here post two-minute warning and win the game for Atlanta. ProfitX is offering you a 20% purchase match up to $100 when you sign up right now. ProfitX is the number one sports prediction market in 40-plus states where you can trade main lines, player props, parlays, and even request your own odds and bet yes, no on touchdown scores and more. This holiday season, be on the lookout. The 7 days of ProfitX Miss giveaway with special prizes all week long. Download ProfitX now. Use the promo code VSIN to get started. Right now, take advantage of it right now and go to ProfitX. Use the promo code of VSIN. All right, we'll take you through the end of Thursday Night Football. Can the Falcons pull off the win? Find out on the other side of Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out rolls on from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, and the Falcons are about to go away with a whimper. Third and 28 coming for them. Down by two, a minute 20 to go. Cousins sacked on one play, fumbled the ball, somehow got it back. Two miraculous recoveries for the Falcons today on fumbles. And then a holding call on the play after that, which was penalty number 19 for 125 yards for Atlanta tonight. After that, an incompletion, and now it's third and 28 as the Falcons can kick a field goal with a win, but they're at their own 29-yard line. So they have a ways to go with a minute 20 left in this game. Cousins dumps it off to Kyle Pitts, who's having a career day. That'll cut the deficit for a fourth down try, maybe in half, but they have no timeouts. He went down in bounds, and they're running to the line of scrimmage to make something happen. Tampa Bay's minus 540 on the money line. Atlanta is, it just jumped. Something must happen on this next play. Tampa Bay's plus 190, Atlanta's minus 250, unless it just moved because of the play we just saw. We'll take it through this, then we'll go to our guest, Larry Hartstein, Sportsline betting analyst, coming up in just a moment here. Cousins with a bomb, Sills with a catch, oh, and he gets out of bounds. Oh, they're going to say his butt was inbounds. Clock is rolling. They're fighting for the football. 35 seconds to go. They need to spike this. They are probably right on the edge of field goal range. They could probably use another 5 yards or so. They spike it with 29 seconds to go. Okay. That'll set up a potential game-winning kick for the thicker kicker for Atlanta. With that, let's welcome in our guest. He is Larry Hartstein. You know him, Sportsline senior analyst at Larry Hartstein on X. And he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Larry. The roller coaster of this game has been wild. Tampa Bay needs it, but Atlanta actually showing us a little bit of life here. What do you make of Thursday Night Football with the Falcons having a chance to win this thing?
Well, I'm pulling for your plus 440. I'm also pulling for my season win total over 7.5 is not dead on the Falcons. They need to win out. They actually have a game against the Rams, so it's probably dead in all likelihood. But I want to keep the dream alive for one more week. This team has so underachieved all season. I would love to see them get this last-minute win, though, for you and for me.
Correction, the thicker kicker's on the Colts. I don't know why I said that about Atlanta. Zane Gonzalez is the kicker. Gonzalez could give them the win. A penalty, by the way, on that last play. I believe it was a delay of game because the Atlanta defender who tackled Sills was laying on him, and they hit them with a penalty. That brought them down. They're going to end up throwing it to Mooney, who's inside the 30. Atlanta's going to win this game. Atlanta with 24 seconds to go can set up a game-winning field goal. They just got to be smart with the football and not turn it over. So this could end up being a really nice little night for us here on the program. But Larry, you and I both spent a lot of time in Atlanta. You wrote for the AJC for a while. When you look at Raheem Morris, even with a win here, I just feel like he's unfit to be a head coach. His team has almost 20 penalties in this game. I mean, do you see a world where he does enough to save his job from here on out?
You know, he proves it week in and week out that he's not a good head coach. And Arthur Blank, we were talking about how patient he is. I think he has to pull the trigger and start over because they're wasting some unbelievable talent like Bijan Robinson, who's had an incredible game tonight. But it's hard for me to say anything negative about Arthur Blank because, as I was mentioning, Dustin, there was a time I was a sports reporter for the AJC. They called a press conference on like 15 minutes notice. I was home. I was in sweats. I hadn't shaved. I was in a T-shirt. And they said, you got to be there at Arthur Blank's press conference. I went in. He was, you know, impeccably dressed in a $5,000 suit on this mahogany wooden table. And he greeted me like I was dressed totally fine, like I was the man. I mean, he was so courteous, and I'll never forget that from Arthur Blank.
Yeah, he's a classy dude. I root for him. I just think he's a good human being. He takes care of the city of Atlanta. And by the way, here's Atlanta. 4 seconds to go. Down by two. Zane Gonzalez on to kick a potential game-winning 43-yarder, and the Bucs call a timeout to ice him. So we'll tell you what happens as it develops here. But Larry's a pro. He's been doing it for a long time. I want to get your thoughts on some of these games this weekend, most notably the Kansas City Chiefs, because they're up to 5.5-point favorites. They're hosting the Chargers. And, I mean, it just feels like a combination of events you want to bet on with Kansas City coming off a bad loss to Houston, Chargers coming on a short week off a really good win against the Eagles, and you want to lay that 5.5 with Kansas City. I'll get your thoughts on that in a moment as that timeout has already been over and Gonzalez is about to get set to kick the game winner. So let's take people through this game winner, potentially, for the Falcons. And you know who's rooting for this? Dave Canales and the Carolina Panthers, because all of a sudden things get very interesting. It's up and good. All right, Larry's a little ahead of me. Let's see. Zane Gonzalez's 43-yarder. We know it's up and good. We'll cash our plus 440 on him. We'll have a 3-0 night with a plus 440 and a 35-1 in this game. And that kick is up. It's good. Atlanta with the win. Wow. Oh, man. Wow. All right, before we get to your Chiefs take, talk to me about Tampa. Because this was a team people thought was going to be a threat. Baker looked like an MVP candidate through the first few weeks of the season. They've dealt with injuries, but everyone deals with injuries. And in fact, they were healthier today than they've been in a long time. And they still lost the Falcons at home. I mean, there's a chance Tampa Bay doesn't win the South, but what do you make of their season?
Well, this is an epic collapse, and they're probably going to have to sweep the Panthers now. I need to look at all the scenarios, but they've got two left. With the Panthers, they're going to have to sweep them most likely to win the division, which they had in hand. You know, it's been a weird combination of things, you know, some injuries, but even with guys coming back, there's just still something missing, you know, and Todd Bowles is another guy that deserves some heat, you know, for getting to this level and never getting beyond it. It's going to be an epic collapse if they blow this division.
Yeah. Larry Harstein's with us, CBS Sportsline senior analyst at Larry Harstein on X. All right, this game's in the books, in case you missed it. It's a Falcons comeback win, 29-28. It all, by the way, started happening as soon as I opened my mouth and started talking smack about Raheem Morris. He picks up a huge win. I'll give him a lot of credit. He found a way, even though he tried to blow it a couple times. Talk to me about the Chiefs, laying 5.5, hosting the Chargers this week. Total is 41 and a hook. Why do you like Kansas City in this spot?
Well, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the Chiefs defense. I mean, they were letting Houston do absolutely nothing in the second half, and Andy Reid didn't trust the defense, and that's what got him into trouble. If he had just punted the ball back to Houston, I think that game might have ended differently. They were done in by 6 drop passes. The Chargers lost another offensive lineman. They gave up a 68% pressure rate. That is almost unheard of in today's NFL. So I think that is just a brutal spot. You're traveling on a short week. Bitter cold, 17 degrees, Dustin, for this team that is used to California and used to playing indoors. I just think this is the spot. We know this is finally the Chiefs all-in moment. They can't afford this one. They have to win out right now, and I think they get it done and cover the number.
All right, let's now go to the Lions and the Rams. Stafford versus former team, Goff versus former team, this one in SoFi. We're up to 6. Rams are laying 6. The total's 54.5, and you want to lay it with the favorite here?
Yeah, I would lay 5.5. I think you could still find some 5.5s. I'm worried about Devontae Adams, who missed again today. Hopefully he gets back in practice tomorrow. But either way, I think the Rams are the right side. You know, the Lions defense gave up 417 yards to a Cowboys team that did not have CeeDee Lamb for much of the day. George Pickens seemed disinterested out there, and they still gave up 30 points and 417 yards. And now you face a Rams team. Matthew Stafford has the best passer rating in the NFL at 113. There's no Brian Branch. Kirby Joseph looks like he's going to miss again. We know the other injuries in the secondary. So I just think this team is elite right now on both sides of the ball. I think that loss in Carolina was a bit fluky, and they just haven't had the big games, whereas the Lions have had all these showdown games, like must-win games. The Rams kind of haven't had one since the Seahawks game, and I think this is where they make a statement and definitely cover that number.
Chatting with Larry Hartstein, Sportsline senior analyst at Larry Hartstein on X. And in case you missed it, the Atlanta Falcons topped the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 29-28 Thursday Night Football. We'll do a full recap coming up in our next segment, but want to get all of Larry's plays in here for this week. So I'm looking at the Jaguars, Larry, laying 13.5, hosting the Jets. Total's 41.5. I don't know if I want to lay the wood there. Is there a player prop, though, that makes sense in this matchup to you?
Well, Travis Etienne is in an absolute smash spot because since Quinnen Williams got traded, the Jets are giving up almost 150 rushing yards per game. And then when Tootin fumbles last week, he doesn't play another snap, and Etienne finishes with 20 carries. So maybe Tootin gets back in the good graces after a good week of practice and he gets a few carries. But I still love this play for Travis Etienne. He's had 70 plus in 7 different games. The Jets are missing a lot of tackles. One of their starting linebackers is not practicing this week. Another one is limited. And like I said, just without Quinnen Williams, this run defense has been bad. And you also look at the game script. I mean, 2 touchdown favorites. They should be running the ball a lot, especially in the second half. Love him over 71.5.
Tremendous. As always, he's Larry Hartstein. You can find him on X at Larry Hartstein and Sportsline, senior analyst. Appreciate you doing this as always, my friend. We will chat again very soon.
Enjoyed it, Dustin. Congrats on your 3-0.
Thank you. It was a fun day. See, my mood is literally dependent on whether the bets are cashing. It's really unfortunate for everyone in my life. I mean, Patrick Maher feels it when I go on with him before this show on Mad Dog Sports Radio. My girlfriend feels it when she's around me and I'm sweating these things out. My family doesn't hear from me if the bets aren't falling, but all of a sudden if they are, I'm a great family member again. It's a problem, but we're on the upside of things right now. So we will recap and look at the implications of Atlanta taking down Tampa Bay on Thursday Night Football 29-28 coming up next right here on Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it on Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. In case you missed it, the Atlanta Falcons came back to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 29-28 as 5.5-point dogs on Thursday Night Football. We go way over that total of 43.5. And what looked like a Raheem Morris meltdown by going for 2 late in this game and then forcing themselves to really step up defensively to get some key stops, it looked like he was messing up. In the end, Todd Bowles messes up. Todd Bowles doesn't have anything ready to go to put the Falcons away while he's got a multi-score lead in the fourth quarter. In case you missed it, here's how it went down. So things opened up in the first quarter with Tampa Bay getting a touchdown by Sean Tucker on an 11-play, 83-yard drive. Tucker was 35-1, first touchdown in this game. We had that over at Dustin Sweetelson on X. He was 6-1 anytime touchdown in this contest. Second quarter, Atlanta answered on the ensuing drive. 9 plays, 65 yards. Kyle Pitts gets in the end zone, plus 235 at 7-7. They trade punts. Tampa Bay kicks a field goal. It's 10-3. Atlanta then took a 14-10 lead on a Kyle Pitts second touchdown. He was 19-1 to have two touchdowns in this game. Before the half, the Buccaneers are able to kick a field goal. They go into the break 14-13 with the lead. We come out of the locker room's third quarter. Devin Culp scores a touchdown for the Buccaneers. He was 12-1 to find the end zone. And Culp gets home in the third quarter, the only touchdown of the third quarter. And that made it 20-14. That was 2013. All right, 20-14. Then Chris Godwin scored. That extended the lead early in the fourth quarter to 28-14 for Tampa Bay. Atlanta with 9:37 to go. Bijan Robinson, a six-yard run. He gets in the end zone, makes it 28-20. They go for the two-point conversion, and they do not get it. So instead of it being 21-27, it is instead 28-20. Tampa with the lead there. Then Atlanta gets the ball back. Kyle Pitts scores a touchdown. They're now forced to go for two to tie it up at 28. They don't get the conversion, but Kyle Pitts, who had a monster day, we'll get to the numbers in a moment, he was in the end zone for the third time. He was 110-1 to have three touchdowns in this game based on what I'm seeing. 110-1, three touchdowns for Kyle Pitts. What a monster day for him. And then Atlanta is able to get a huge stop of Tampa Bay, drive down the field, and Zane Gonzalez kicked a walk-off winner 43 yards out. The Falcons pick up the win 29-28 in a game that they were penalized 19 times for 120 yards, and they still found a way to win the game. You have to start the conversation with Kyle Pitts, who's in a contract year, who's been a guy that has been very slow to develop. And with Drake London out of the lineup, he's become the number one target for this team the last few weeks. And he is showing what he's been capable of, why he was a top five pick, why out of Florida people believe that this was a unique type of tight end with the athleticism and the wide receiver skills. He's a bit of a tweener, but this is the blueprint. This is the recipe for whoever has him on their roster next year to use him. And by the way, I don't think it's going to be the Falcons, because I think he's going to get paid a lot of money for a team that needs a weapon through the air. He ends up finishing this game as the leading receiver. He had 11 catches, 166 yards, and three touchdowns. His numbers were set by the sports books at 5.5 receptions and 54 yards. He had 6 for 111 in the first half alone. He cleared all of his props before the second half even started, finishes 11 for 166 through the air. Bijan Robinson was remarkable. 19 carries, 93 yards, a touchdown. He also had 8 catches for 82 yards. We went over on his receiving yards of 36.5 over at VSiN.com/picks. He easily gets there. And this is the frustrating part when it comes to the Atlanta Falcons, because why wasn't this the recipe all year long? Feed your special players. Get them involved. There were so many times where I'd have a bet on Atlanta, or I have a bet on Bijan Robinson, and it'd be the fourth quarter, game's on the line, and Tyler Algier's in there, or they're not utilizing Bijan Robinson, and they're throwing to someone like Darnell Mooney. Darnell Mooney's fine, whatever. He's a third receiver at best. Bijan Robinson's a special, unique player. He is a mismatch for linebackers and safeties. He's too big for the safeties to tackle. He's too fast for the linebackers to run him down. Why you are not getting the ball in this dude's hands at a minimum of 25 to 30 times a game, I don't know. Even when you're losing, you can still use him. And I thought the way they use him today was the way you're supposed to. They lined him out wide in the slot, out of the backfield. They're throwing to him. They were running the ball with him. He was the focal point of the offense. And Atlanta ends up winning the game. I think that equation matters, right? 1 + 1 = dub. All right, Atlanta, Raheem Morris, you big donkey. All right, some other bets that got home. Egbuka goes over on his receiving yards of 50.5. But not over on his receptions, a 4.5 with 4. For Tampa Bay, the return of Mike Evans was massive. He had 6 catches for 132 yards. His props were low. They were set at 3.5 and 39.5. And even at a long of 45, we saw the old Mike Evans, the dude who goes up and gets it. And unfortunately for Tampa Bay, falls to 7-7 on the year. as they've gotten healthier, they've gotten worse. I don't really understand how that's happening. Now, they have injuries on the O-line. I think at the end of the season, you know the 3-in-1 shampoos you can buy? It's like, it's soap, it's body wash, conditioner. Some of them are toothpaste. I don't know. There's a bunch of things you can get. I think Baker Mayfield's going to get a 3-for-1 surgery. I think my man's banged up. I think he's really injured. And at the end of the season, he's going to go under the knife. They're going to go, oh, it's the shoulder, it's the elbow, it's the hip, it's the knee. I think we're looking at multiple injuries that he's going to have to deal with this offseason, and he's just gutting his way through it. He went 19 of 34 for 277, two touchdowns, and an interception. So he goes under on his completions of 19.5. He goes over on his attempts of 31.5, over on his yards of 221.5, over 1.5 touchdowns, which was minus 143. Over on interceptions at minus 102 and clears his longest of 34.5 with a 45-yarder to Mike Evans. But how about Kirk Cousins? Kirk Cousins, 30 of 44 for 373, three touchdowns and no interceptions. That's over on completions, attempts, yards, touchdowns, and longest. Under on his interceptions gets home at even money. What was a remarkable day for Kirk Cousins, playing out of his mind, distributing the football. As some other props that got home in this game, we're looking at Bucky Irving cashes over 14.5 attempts. He had 16 carries, over 60 yards. He had 50. His number was set at 57.5 in this game. David Sills, the receiver for Atlanta, has a connection with Kirk Cousins. He finished with 6 catches, 78 yards. He dropped a potential touchdown where he was wide open. So he clears 2.5 receptions and 19.5 yards pretty easily there. Easily is not a word. It's something I just made up. Darnell Mooney goes over receptions of 2.5 with 3 for 35, but under his yardage of 37.5. On the other side for Tampa Bay, Jalen McMillan returns to the lineup after that neck injury. He had 2 for 38. His number was 1.5 and 10.5. He clears that there. And then Chris Godwin goes over on his receptions of 3.5. He had 4 for 20, under on his yardage for Evans. And that looks like it's it in terms of all the props that got home in this game. Kyle Pitts cashes your most receiving yards at plus 285. He also gets home at 110-1 for 3 touchdowns. But the story for this game is Tampa Bay, because they needed this one. They were tied record-wise with the Carolina Panthers. They're going to finish with 2 games against Carolina to finish out the season. And I'm looking for the odds. I don't see them up at DraftKings. Let's see if FanDuel has them, because I need to see how the NFC odds have shifted. Tampa Bay was a minus $3 favorite. You can get like a little over 2.5 to 1, I believe, on Carolina coming into this game. And let's see if FanDuel has it up, because curious the adjustment that they're making. And Tampa Bay is minus 145. Carolina is plus 110. And in the awards market, I'm curious how has Dave Canales moved, because we bet him 30-1, coach of the year, anticipating this could get close. You know what he has, and he's gotten longer. He's 45-1. Guys, I'm telling you, Mike Vrabel's probably going to win coach of the year, but I'm seeing he's down to minus 190. There are so many potential options. Wow, Kyle Shanahan's down to 6.5-1. That came out of nowhere. He was like 8-1 the other day, 9-1. But my point is, there is a world where Dave Canales has a very strong case if they win the NFC South. That's why we bet him 2 weeks ago at 30-1. I don't think 45-1 is crazy, but there's a lot of guys who have a case. Ben Johnson has a case. Liam Cohen has a case. D'Amico Ryans, who we took at 150-1, is down to 45-1. If Mike Vrabel and the Patriots do not take care of business and win the East, which means a potential loss this week to Buffalo would have to happen for that to go on, coach of the year becomes wide open. It's any of these guys. And I think Canales at 45-1, if they finish the job, they win the NFC South, there's a conversation to be had about him being in the mix and shortening up like some of these other guys have as well. So just a thought. They're long shots for a reason, but could be fun to ride out the rest of the way. Hey, make the holidays unforgettable with Omaha Steaks. From holiday roast to hand-selected gift packages, Omaha Steaks delivers top-quality meals and memorable gifts that bring everyone together. Every steak perfectly aged, hand-carved for exceptional flavor. And right now, as a VEASAN exclusive, you'll get 16 free smash burgers with any order of $129 or more, plus 50% off site-wide. Visit omahasteaks.com/VEASAN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.